In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Coptic Orthodox Church laws and regulations for family affairs.
The laws and the regulation of the Coptic Orthodox Church and other Orthodox churches which are similar to us regarding family affairs, engagement, marriage, divorce, and annulment. It's important for each one to understand these regulations before stepping into marriage and while you are married. There is no divorce in the church. When you go into, they could dissolve the marriage. The word divorce is not. We don't have it. Dissolving or dissolution of marriage. So, engagement. Engagement is a contract, a certificate, a start of a life. And there's a prayer in the church for that. And there are certain stipulations, issues regarding even the engagement. We'll read it together, one by one, and I'll try to explain it. This one paper, I mean 2 pages nearly, is a very, very short summary of a course, a complete course in the law regarding the personal affairs and family affairs in the Coptic Orthodox Church. So excuse me if it is very summarized, because each line needs to be explained. I will try in short to go through it.
Engagement, line by line. Engagement. Mutual arrangement for marriage between a man and a woman for a limited time. Number 1. Minimum age and guardians.
It has to be for a limited time. It could be 6 months. We prefer to be between 6 months and 1 year. But the minimum is now recommended time is 45 days. The minimum. You can't go from here, you have 2 weeks, you go to Egypt, marry and return. You can't have an engagement and wedding and return in 2 weeks. You cannot do that. So, and there's also a minimum age. The minimum age for marriage, the girl is 16 marriage and 18 for the young man. Here is 18. But in our original country, 16 and 18, which means engagement could be 6 months or 1 year earlier, depending on when you are going to marry. But if you are less than the age, the recommended age, you must have your guardian with you. There must be a guardian, and we'll see that when coming up. Yes.
2. Duration.
Duration of the engagement is mentioned. They have to write in the certificate of the engagement when is going to be the wedding. And if you want to postpone it for some time by the agreement of the two, you tell the father of the church to write why it was postponed for some time. Yeah.
Factors which prohibit marriage and engagement and declaration forms. Number 4. certificate signed by the engaged, priest, guardians, and witnesses.
The factors which prohibit engagement and marriage will be written in detail with the marriage. Factors that prohibit, which means you can't, which means you can be engaged to your sister or your brother. You can be engaged to your mother or dad. You can be engaged to your aunt or uncle because you're going to marry them. You can't. So there are certain prohibitions, factors which prohibit, which prevent. And we'll see a list of them later, some of the list later.
Number four, certificate signed by the engaged, priest, guardians, and witnesses.
There has to be a certificate. This certificate, a copy, as we're going to know, a copy is kept with the priest. And it could be given to those who are engaged. And it's kept in the patriarchate, or if there's a diocese, like this is the South, Los Angeles, Sydney, Melbourne, are dioceses with bishop there. So it could be kept in the record there. And it has to be signed by the priest who performed the prayer and the rites for the engagement, and the two involved in the engagement, and witnesses. If they are minor, less than underage, then guardians also responsible for them. Mostly parents, or if the parents are not there, you'll find who could replace them in the list. Uncles and the grandparents. And so they have to sign this certificate. And this certificate, maybe someone did not mention that he's married. And somebody knows that he's married. It has to be announced and posted in the two churches from which the two who are engaged are coming. So if anyone knows about one of them and there are any factor which prohibits his or her marriage, he has 1 month to come and tell the priest and the church, "No, you don't know. I know that man is married in Egypt or married in the United States and is coming here for engagement, other marriage. You take care of that." So if anybody has any reason to say or prohibit, he has to come to the church and say it. That's why it has to be posted. Or if they have a magazine, or if you have anything which circulate between all the congregation, they have to say, not because we are rejoicing the engagement only, no. We mention the full names and the date, but we don't mention the value, say, of the diamond ring. Or we don't mention something, the expenses. We don't mention that. Names and the engagement happened in such a day, and we are expecting if someone has a factor which is tough, he will come forward and tell us. But we will not say, "Please, if you have a reason, come and tell us." We will not say that. Yes.
Financial agreement, dowry, and bans.
The financial agreement will be written in the certificate, but not going to be posted or announced for the whole congregation. Yes.
Expected time of marriage.
Okay, we'll mention that. Yes.
Announcement of the engagement in the bulletin of the two churches and dioceses for 1 month.
Yes.
Termination of engagement, dowry, gifts, etc.
About termination of engagement, the one who gets out is the one who will pay for the expenses, which means if the female partner, the woman, will say no, I don't want this engagement to continue, if he has given her any precious gifts or diamond ring, she has to return it to Abuna, the father of the church, and the father of the church will return it to him. But of course, there is something which cannot be returned. Say, if you will get her a pair of shoes, and she will use it, he will insist to have it after 6 months, please, I want the shoes again. Of course not. I mean, something which makes sense. In particular, the ring, if it's a ring, the dowry, if there's any of these. Yes.
Marriage.
Okay, we have finished with the engagement. The engagement has a certain right, لها طقس, خلاص, and لها certificate. So it is something important, and the church now encourages people who are engaged to go through a program like this for premarital counseling. And sometimes, if annulment, if the council for the family affairs of the church will give a verdict that this is an annulled marriage, sometimes he will write in the certificate of remarriage that they have to go for premarital counseling, Christian premarital counseling in the church, before getting into another marriage. So it is recommended to prepare yourself during the engagement, as we have mentioned in the beginning, not only looking for the reception and the furniture and the honeymoon, and we don't look for your life, which will continue much longer than that. Prepare and see whether you could make that decision to marry or not to marry, before even one day before the wedding, you could say no. Better than to continue into a marriage which you know is doomed to failure because of so many conflicts which you are unable to resolve it or start resolving it during the engagement. Yes, marriage.
Number one, continues sacred, holy, and religious bond or unity, which takes place in public as in the engagement between one man and one woman.
Look for this condition. It has to be in public. It cannot be done in secrecy. Some witnesses will be there. And you have to sign that you are accepting that, as we are going to read now, in front of everybody. It has to be in public. Yes.
Two. Rites of the mystery is performed by a canonized priest, authorized by the church in a public ceremony.
So, there are certain rites, titax, certain rites for the mystery of matrimony. The one who could perform the prayers has to be a canonized priest authorized by the church to perform these rites. And he has to do it in public. If he will not do it, there could be a consequence for that. So you get any priest who is not authorized by the church, or any priest from any church. No. The wedding is not a canonized wedding. It's not a legal wedding according to the church. I mean, someone could say, no, this wedding must be annulled. It did not start. Because either the priest or the certain prayers, or it was not in public. Yes.
A lifelong commitment unless it is dissolved or terminated.
Of course you understand it's a lifelong commitment. We commit ourselves for God, the other spouse, and for the relationship, and it is whole lifelong. Unless it is terminated, the marriage, by other reasons, or dissolved by other reasons. Like, say, departure of one of the spouses. Yes.
Free will, agreement, and consent.
Okay. This also a very important issue. The priest must see and be informed, and by himself will know that the bride and the groom, both of them, by their own free will, are consenting to start the prayers of the wedding. Why? Because sometimes we put pressure on one party that he or she has to marry that person, or certain obligation which happened, which mandated that he or she must marry. Then we give them, after that 1 month, in the first month after the wedding, he or she could come and explain the reasons of the pressure which was imposed on them, and the council will look, council of the church, whether it is a reasonable, a legitimate reason or not to annul the marriage. We know for certain cases that so much pressure was put on a bride, and not she must sign in front of everybody. Abuna will get the book and they sign in front of the whole congregation attending the ceremony. Both of them will sign, which means everybody is witnessing that they have accepted. But they have 1 month to come and explain if any pressure was put on them. Yes.
Legal age.
We said before the legal age. I think here is 18, correct? It's not less than 18 for both. In Egypt, 16 for the young woman and 18 for the young man.
Factors that prohibit marriage.
Okay, now look to part of the list. I'm sorry, this is part only of the list. There are other factors, especially in the relatives. Okay.
Brother or sister and their offspring, nephew or niece.
You can't marry your nephew or your niece, which means he or she cannot marry their uncles or aunts. And of course, no sister, not anymore. This was at the time of the pharaohs, but not in the Coptic Orthodox Church. Yes.
Uncles and aunts to the father and mother, but not to their offspring.
Not the offspring of the uncles and aunts, the cousins. You could marry the cousins. Nothing against that in the church. Maybe socially, in some of the countries they say they are like brothers. But there is no law which prohibits, and of course any lawyer could correct me if they know that there is a law which prohibits that. I know there is no law which prohibits marriage of cousins in any country. At least I know in the United States, and of course in Egypt, it is even they like to marry cousins. And it may add to some of the certain inherited genetic diseases which runs in certain families. But they like, you know, from the family, he knows everything about her and about him. So cousins, yes. Uncles, aunts, not. Yes.
Wife's mother or grandmother, husband's father or grandfather.
You can't marry your grandfather or your grandmother. You can't. So, I mean, this blood going is prohibited, of course, yes.
Someone who is married, polygamy.
If someone is married, he got married another marriage. It is known all over, this polygamy, and polygamy is forbidden, yes.
Someone who was divorced by the church because of adultery.
Someone who was divorced because he committed adultery. He did not repent, and the church did not give him a certificate of remarriage because he is the one who committed adultery. He can't marry again in the church, in the Coptic Orthodox Church. He could marry outside, but not in the Coptic Orthodox Church. Yes.
Certain physical diseases which prohibit marriage.
There are certain physical diseases which prohibit marriage unless the person will declare it, as we are going the annulment, unless the person will declare it and the other spouse-to-be will sign that he or she knows about it and is accepting that. See, if someone had cancer, and the fiancé knows about that, and he or she is accepting. He has to sign that before starting the marriage. Certain neurological diseases, certain, even diabetes. If someone will hide that intentionally, and will know that it is a reason for annulment. So, certain diseases, organic diseases, which could prohibit, and we know that later on in detail, and these diseases, if it's known, it could be a reason for annulment. So it has to be declared before marriage. Yes.
Some psychiatric disorders which prohibit marriage.
Some psychiatric disorders which know it could affect the continuation of marital life. Someone who is schizophrenic and he's in real crisis and he is taking treatment and medication. If the spouse-to-be would accept that, fine. But the priest must explain to the other party the gravity of the disease if he knows. I remember a case. It was about 3 days before the wedding. And the girl came to tell me, I don't know, I feel there's something wrong with my fiancé. You know, the invitation card was sent, and everything was sent, reception was booked, and everything, the church, after 3 days. And I told her, explain to me. She said, he said that he might have something, but he will be okay. But sometimes he disappears and I don't know what's going on in his health. So I told her, go and ask him by phone if he has MS or not. She didn't know it's MS. She asked him. He told her, who told you that? And he said, don't worry, but I mean, it's not your business, but tell me, do you have it or not? He said, yes, I have it. Then she came to ask me about MS. I explained to her exactly what is the disease. I referred her to read about it on the internet if she wants. But I told her, you will be a nurse for your husband. If you love him so much, you could, but you have to sign. And she refused, and they stopped the wedding. And then she's married now and has from somebody else, and they have children. So anything could be stopped if you know that a disease could affect the continuation of your marriage. But you have to know it, somebody will explain it to you, and you sign if you agree or not. Yes.
Number 7. Marriage certificate. Civil or court marriage and marriage license.
We believe multiple sclerosis. MS is multiple sclerosis. It's a neurological disease which usually affects younger age in the generative years, and you'll find some paralysis for some time and it goes away and leaves certain traces. Usually between 10 and 25 years the person will be bedridden. Sometimes not, sometimes earlier. It could affect emotions, mentality, cranial nerves, blindness, or arms and legs. And the more the relapses happen, the more it leaves more traces, neurological deficits. And then it leads to someone on wheelchair or bedridden.
Marriage certificate, civil or court marriage and marriage license.
We believe that we have to go through civil marriage and church marriage, whether in Egypt or here or anywhere. So in Egypt, the priest is authorized by the government to have a marriage license, a certificate, which is a license to marry, and he will sign it. And his signature, he takes certain course for him to be authorized by the government. And so he will perform the rites with other priests, but he is the one who has to sign the certificate. And then it is recorded in the government. In the United States, and I think here, you have to go for civil marriage first and take from them a certificate to be filled in the church after performing the rites of the mystery, the prayer of the mystery, and send back to the county to issue for you the real marriage certificate that you are married. Church could give you a church certificate, but you could have from the government a certificate only with civil or civil and church. Okay. And if there's any divorce will happen, God forbid, there has to be civil divorce before the council will decide to give you anything. So we have to dissolve the two marriages, the civil marriage and the church marriage. All of those who are married in Egypt, they have civil marriage, sigil al-madani, and they have church marriage, although it is not sigil al-madani, you have seen in the church. So in every country, you have two marriages, civil and church. If you want to have only civil marriage, it's up to you. But the church doesn't recognize that marriage as a mystery. And to be, your marriage is legal, if you are a resident of a country, church marriage must be accompanied by civil marriage, usually preceding the church marriage, usually.
Church marriage signed by the two spouses, the priest, and at least two witnesses in front of the congregation attending the ceremony.
Okay. Continue.
Divorce or dissolution of marriage.
Okay. Now, the main two, now, the engagement and marriage, we have finished with them. Everybody will have the engagement and the marriage, but not everybody will go through divorce or annulment. I hope not, but just in case, you will know in which cases the church grants certificate of remarriage in these cases. Yes.
1. Church marriage. Death of a spouse.
It goes without saying. I mean, the spouse is deceased, is dead, or she's dead. Of course, she could marry another marriage. Yes.
The following are regarded as spiritual death. 1. Adultery, a lifestyle of a repeated full extramarital relationships without repentance.
Okay, I have a comment about that issue. The church is not waiting for you to commit adultery to break and dissolve your marriage. Any sin with repentance is forgiven. But it depends on your spouse. If the spouse is insisting, no, I don't want to continue, the priests have to work with that spouse, whether he or she, and we don't encourage them to go and ask the counsel, unless this is a life of repeated adultery without repentance. As St. John just mentioned, life of adultery, lifestyle of adultery. He is so many times repeated and without repentance. But so many cases, extramarital affairs happened, and they are still till now married. Why? Because of repentance and life going on. Through counseling the church or Christian counseling with the church, they went through that trauma and they are continuing still in their marriage. So not necessarily extramarital affair must end in dissolving the marriage. But it is your right to ask for that. If you are the innocent, if you are the innocent person in the relationship, and the one who committed adultery means he betrayed Jesus before betraying the so-called innocent spouse. Because sin is primarily against Jesus Christ before it is against the spouse. And the two spouses must understand that. The honor must be for God who is in the relationship. And review Psalm 50. The sin is towards God or before God, not before the other person I did with him. So, if the spouse insist for his or her right to dissolve the marriage, the priest must explain to her, God is the one who accepted the repentance and he forgave your spouse. Do you still want to continue asking the counsel for that? Explain to her exactly the repercussion of that and explain to him or her the result of divorce, because it has repercussion on the whole family, consequences on the children, be children of divorce, before he or she will go for the counsel. But it is the right, the innocent party, it is the right to go and ask the counsel. Yes.
Sodomy and perversion in marriage.
It's clear. Sodomy and perversion is regarded as if it is divorce, because it is away from the plan of God. If someone is insisting to go in his or her perversion, the church breaks the marriage, dissolves the marriage, and gives to the innocent party certificate for remarriage. And anyone who wants, if the party, the guilty spouse, wants to marry again, he has to get from the church a permission. Because according to the record, it's like that. If there is an annulment, if the marriage is annulled, it's something different. It will be written. For annulment means as if it did not begin. It will be written in the certificate for remarriage for the guilty party that anybody who wants to marry that person must know that he or she is. And they write the reason. Yes.
Change of religion.
Change of religion, not change of denomination, which means denying Christ. There's an agreement between the churches now in Egypt, the Protestants, the Catholic, and the Orthodox. If anyone will change his or her denomination for the sake of taking marriage certificate to remarry, there's an agreement not to give it, because they are Christians. So changing the denomination now is not an enough reason, because Christ is in the all churches, Christian churches. But if someone will convert to other religion, then it is a reason for the innocent spouse to ask for a certificate of remarriage and the marriage is dissolved. Yes.
Denial of Christ and conversion to another religion. Second, civil divorce in the court, no cause for divorce.
You know, the civil court system is no cause divorce. You don't have to give any of these reasons. Just go and ask for divorce. And you have to go through a certain period of time after which the judge will give you the verdict of divorce. Is it 1 year in Canada? 1 year after separation, physical separation for 1 year in Canada. In the United States, it depends on the state. Those who want to get their divorce fast, they'll go to Nevada, Las Vegas. The fastest to go, and it's not going to take 9 months, say as in California. For sure it's not 1 year like here. And dissolving a civil marriage from any country could help in the church, not necessarily from Canada, if you married from Canada. Yes.
Note, church certificate of remarriage in issued pending the civil divorce.
So, if you go to the council of the church asking for a certificate of remarriage, they might allow you to get it, but pending, finishing first with the civil divorce. After you get them the paper of the civil divorce, we will give you the church certificate of remarriage.
Remarriage is allowed after at least 10 months from physical separation or death of the first spouse.
Why? Say someone died, his wife wants to marry. Why the church says if she is going to marry or separated from her spouse physically, it has to be after 10 months. 10 months. It doesn't take a genius. Why 10 months? Because pregnancy. Maybe she's pregnant from the original. And her new husband must know that. It's up to him or her to say. But if she will say, I'm not pregnant, no. She has to stay for 10 months. And to be sure, if she will deliver the baby and the new groom accept, fine. So at least to prevent him coming, say, if she will marry in 2 or 3 months, and then will come and say, no, I did not know that she was pregnant, and ask for annulment. To prevent such a request, she has to stay for 10 months. Yes.
Annulment.
Annulment means as if the marriage did not start. Yes.
1. Someone who is pressured to marry against his or her own free will, he, she has to inform the church within the first month of marriage.
I said that, or else the marriage would be void because it is against her. So she has to tell them. If she did not tell them in 1 month, this means she's accepting. She will not come after 2 years and say, oh, my father put pressure on me to marry. After she will discover that he is not the man of choice. No. It has to be in the first month. Yes.
Marriage.
It could be, sorry, first day, but within the first month. Yes.
Marriage without the prayers of Coptic Orthodox mystery of matrimony are performed by a priest who is not canonized and authorized by the Coptic Orthodox Church.
Okay, if, as I have mentioned, this is a reason for annulling the marriage, if the priest is not canonized or not authorized, or not in public, or the prayer are not the real prayer for the mystery. Yes.
Underage, unless the wife is pregnant or 1 month from legal age.
Say, if the wife is 15 years old and she's underage, but somebody say, no, you did that marriage and she's underage. A reason prohibiting the marriage. And then we discover that she's pregnant. From the first month she's pregnant. It's okay. We don't want to dissolve the marriage if there is a baby coming. Or only 1 month before being the right age. It could be passed. Yes.
All the blood relatives mentioned in the factors that prohibit marriage.
As mentioned before. I mean, if we discover something like that, marriage will be annulled. You married your nephew. You married your niece. Your aunt. Your uncle. Of course not. It's annulled. Yes.
Marriage from someone who still has a valid marriage.
Polygamy. Which marriage will be annulled? The first one or the second one? Of course, the second one. The one which happened in our church. Second one, yes.
Marriage of a Coptic Orthodox to someone from another religion.
Yes, okay.
Marriage from someone who is prohibited by the Coptic Orthodox Church to remarry.
Someone who is prohibited, and he didn't say that, and he discovered that he is prohibited, as if marriage did not start. marriage is void from the beginning. Yes.
The following are regarded as intentional deceit. Someone who did not intentionally disclose a psychiatric disorder which was diagnosed before the marriage and it could affect the marital life.
See? Intentional deceit. He or she knows that they were under treatment, they go to doctors, they were diagnosed. Intentionally, they did not disclose that. Then it's discovered in the first week. Then the other spouse has the right to go to the church and tell them, no, he or she didn't tell me. And get proofs that he or she was under treatment and taking treatment in the first week, which should be prescribed to him or her before the marriage. And he has the right to go for annulment, yes.
Someone who intentionally did not disclose a physical disease which was diagnosed before marriage and could affect marital life. Example, certain neurological diseases, physical impairment, and endocrine disorders as undescended testicles, absent ovaries, tubes, uterus and cycle, diabetes and other diseases.
Which were not disclosed. Which were not disclosed and affect the continuation of marriage. The other spouse could claim, could say, why he or she did not tell me. And go to the church also early, as soon as he or she would discover, and tell them. If he or she wants. I know cases that they are married for 16 years and the wife knows that regarding her husband, he has certain deformity and completely he's unable. But she accepts the marriage because he's a good man with her and life goes on. So not necessarily you go, but if you want, this is one of the reasons you can go. Yes.
Inability to perform sexually. Example, impotence or deformed external genital organs.
Yes.
Male or female inhibited sexual desire disorders, which was not disclosed before marriage.
If he or she knows that they have this disorder, no sexual desires. And of course, those sexual desires is going to affect their sexual life after. If he or she knows and he did not disclose it, then it will be annulment because it is a deceit. But how about if it is discovered and the one did not know, the sick person did not know before the marriage that he has something like this? This is debatable and it's left for the council to decide. Yes.
Intentional deprivation of one spouse from sexual relationship by a spouse who is capable and intentionally avoids sexual encounters.
Someone who is capable and he's intentionally depriving his or her spouse sexually, although he or she is able, and continue in that kind of deprivation, he or she must report to the church and the church could annul the marriage. Yes.
Homosexuality or perversion which was not disclosed before marriage.
Yes.
Fraud, facts or situations or motives or conditions which were intentionally not disclosed to the other spouse who would certainly disagree to marry if these facts were known to him or her.
See that last one? If it was mentioned, this situation or facts, to the other spouse will refuse. But intentionally, it was hidden, not disclosed. Something which I'm going to say now, just to end, this is the last issue. Correct? Just a story. One of the stories which passed with me, it was a strange one. a very young couple, ages in their 20s. Very good. But the wife decided with her husband they have to live in a separate residence, not in his family home, because his mother just died few months before the wedding. So both of them decided that, and they already rented an apartment and they lived in the apartment. After, say, 1 or 2 months in the apartment, the wife returned one day and she found the apartment empty, no furniture. And there's a letter from her dear husband telling her, please come to see me in my family home. She went. She asked him by cell phone. He didn't answer. She went there. And she found that he already put his bedroom furniture in the room, in the bedroom of his deceased mother, while her clothes are still in the closet. And her picture is in the room, and he's obliging her, forcing her to sleep in that room. She told him, no, I can't do it. And then she discovered that there was a hidden agenda, a hidden agreement between the uncles of that groom and his dad and the groom himself, that after 1 or 2 months, he will deceive her and force her by such a way, then she will find herself obliged to continue her life. She went to the council and she told them, it was an agreement between us, and he intentionally deceived me by deciding with his family to do something he knows that I'm not accepting. And she took annulment of marriage. It's about facts and situation which will not disclose. Thank you. Any questions? It is a very difficult, very tough issue to talk about. It's not something, I'm not a lawyer, but each one of those, you know, constitute a case which had its pains for everyone. Any questions?